Hello, welcome to Table Talk. This is Scott Porath alongside of Brent Kuhlman, two pastors simply daring to be Lutheran. Daring you, challenging you to hear the word of the Lord.
It sounds like you've been to a Higher Things conference this summer.
I have been to one. How about you?
Yeah, been to one. Going to go to another one.
Attaboy, attaboy. Some people need remedial work. I got it all in one, apparently.
thank you very much.
Just kidding.
Yeah, welcome everybody to your healthy theological radio addiction here. I can't help myself.
This there is you what go. It is. If you've not been with us, we are reading for understanding. We're kind of going through the epistle to the Galatians and highlighting some things for you. And in our last show, we were in Galatians chapter 5, and we just barely touched on something that that Paul mentions. And I'm just going to pick up at verse 13, maybe. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So this freedom that we have in Christ, it's like riding a horse. You can fall off on either side and fall into the ditch. But both of those ditches are the same. They're both slavery. One ditch is legalism, and the other ditch is license.
What in the world is legalism? People are saying, what is he talking about?
Well, the law. Using the law for salvation makes you a slave to the law.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And an eternal slave to the law.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Right, because you'll never fulfill it. And you have no need for Christ either, who fulfilled it for you. But then there's the other ditch, too. And that's the ditch of license.
Right.
What do we mean by that, Brent?
You just do whatever pleases your sinful flesh. Whatever floats your boat.
Oh.
And see, we've talked many times over our past get-togethers here for Table Talk. This is why the old Adam hates preachers. Hates the word of God that preachers are sent to preach. Because the old Adam says, I want to do whatever I want, when I want. And God sends a preacher that says, no, you're going to die to that. And then I'm going to set you free through faith in Christ to love your neighbor. And that's the next verse, of course. You know, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. And then Paul says, if you keep devouring and biting each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So what's interesting here is we promised everybody we'd talk about the simile.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's saying, what's that?
One simile, thing. Yeah. Is that some kind of a formula that you give infants? Or what in the world is simile?
It means simultaneous. So, simul justus et peccator is the Greek. So, at the same time, righteous, justified, and sinner. This is the Christian life. And this is the shocker, because everybody runs with a different matrix. Everybody runs with a matrix that I'm going to get better and better and better and better, and then eventually I'll be completely and totally holy ontologically, and so then I can finally get to heaven. And people are saying, oh, people don't. Yeah, they do believe that. They really do. That's the entire matrix of how Eastern and Roman theology works, and a lot of Protestants run this way as well. Like John Wesley taught this as well. He said, I can get better and better and better, and eventually a Christian reaches perfection in this life and doesn't even sin, and then, of course, then they're finally really saved. They've reached full sanctification, which in their mind is being justified or saved. But the biblical truth is, and this is the shocker, is that for Christ's sake, you were totally forgiven, and Christ gives you his holiness and purity as gift. And it's still his righteousness, by the way. It's never yours, but it's his. And so God says, okay, all your sin I put on my son Jesus, and in exchange he gives you all of his holiness. And then at the same time, we still remain sinners.
Natural man wants to do the either or rather than the simile.
Paul says that God justifies the ungodly. In the Eastern Orthodox and in the Roman Catholic Western way of doing salvation, God justifies the godly, not the ungodly. And that's that continuum that they're on, trying to become like God. God's holy, you're not, so you need to be like God in order to be saved. So good luck with that, folks. But again, the point is that Christ dies for you, and God doesn't count your sin against you, because he counted it against Jesus. And secondly, you are a new creation, by the way, and this is the simile. at the same time saint and sinner justified. So God's word of forgiveness actually creates a new creature, spelled F-A-I-T-H, the believer. And the believer still has the old Adam hanging around his neck, and so you have this simile going on. That's what we're talking about. This is Galatians, the next few verses.
Yeah, because if we would simply go by our experience, what we see in our lives and in the lives of others, we would just say, oh no, sinner. And so we have to be told the mystery, that which is not obvious, if you will, that for Christ's sake, you are justified.
Yeah, and I could even argue just the opposite, the other way. You need to be told that you are a sinner. I understand what you're saying, that's the new man bit.
Sure.
Both have to be preached, the law and the gospel, so that you know that you're a sinner, and secondly, you know you're a new creation, a believer.
That's kind of, when I was using the either-or language, you can go either way on that.
Right.
Because man wants to solve the tension, if you will. These both can't be true at the same time. So let's resolve that tension. So either I'm not a sinner, and so now I've been deceived, and the Lord must reveal the truth to me that I am a poor, miserable sinner, or I know full well my sin, and I can't even fathom that I could be righteous in God's eyes. And so I must be told that too.
Correct. That's what the preacher does. And now Paul, to the Galatians, deals with the issue of license. The old Adam must continually be put to death. Daily. This is the life of holy baptism. And so I say, live by the Spirit, he says in verse 16. And you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now there's a reason why Paul says, live by the Spirit. Don't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because if you gratify the desires of the sinful nature, you'll destroy yourself and you'll destroy everybody that you live with. And so there is this war that goes on in the Christian and in the Christian's life. Namely, the Holy Spirit attacks the old Adam and the old Adam attacks the Spirit. This is a constant battle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thanks be to God that this battle goes on, because the Lord has his way with his Christians.
And that's his language back in verse 15, the biting and devouring one another, being consumed. This is not just the battle between individuals, but this is the battle that wages inside the man.
So Paul talks about this in verse 17. The sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. That is the battle. Mm-hmm. This is the life of holy baptism, folks. So let me say this. I've said it a million times, but I'm going to say it again. When this is going on, and this happens with all Christians, you're making progress in your Christian life. But it looks like there isn't any progress because you're always battling the old Adam. No, if you're battling the old Adam, you're living in your baptism. See, nobody knows this anymore. I'm convinced nobody, that's why I repeat this all the time. Nobody has been taught this.
Mm-hmm.
Ask a Lutheran pastor. They can't even get this.
Right.
You seriously, folks, test this out. Ask your Lutheran pastor, how do I make progress in the Christian life? And see if they say what Paul says here. When the Spirit is contrary to the sinful nature.
See if the response is something like, when your life is at peace, rather than what Paul's saying here is when you're in the midst of the war.
And that's why people who become Christians as adults don't stay Christians very long. I made a general statement.
Okay.
Generally speaking, and you've experienced this, haven't you, Scott?
Sure.
You get these new converts. They're very excited. They're excited to be Christians, etc. And then all of a sudden, after a month, 2 months, 3 months, they're gone. Don't see them anymore. Why? Because what they encounter is this, the Spirit attacking their sinful nature. And the old Adam says, you do whatever you want. Okay, I will.
And so God writes these words to us, folks, so that we are not surprised when this happens, not when, because this happens in our life. Because it's not periodically. It's from womb to tomb. Mm-hmm. It's our entire life. It's the battle.
And you know, the sinful nature employs two really strong allies against your baptismal living, and that's the world and the devil.
Yep.
So this is the simile.
The world is an enabler. to our sinful flesh.
Yeah, well, you got that right. I mean, all you have to do is, good grief, almost, I mean, again, I'm going to speak in general, but almost every Hollywood movie star would say this, gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Do whatever your heart tells you to do. Even if it sends you to hell, do it. That's what Hollywood says. That's what our kids are exposed to 24/7, 365 with almost every movie. There's this movie, I forget the name of it now. I shouldn't even have brought it up. It's about this guy that's a cripple. Have you seen the advertisement for this?
It's not ringing any bells yet.
Some young gal falls in love with him, and I forget the name of it. Well, she falls in love with him and thinks she's going to have a life with him, and the end of the story is that he takes his own life. Suicide's the answer, you know. He does what his sinful desires want. And our kids, see, the reason I bring this up is that all of the high school girls, the junior high and high school and college girls, go and see this movie and think that the answer is do what your sinful nature desires. And so in this case, if you're crippled, if you don't feel complete as a human being, the only answer is to take your life. And so the movie portrays this as some great act. So again, I'm going to repeat.
This great act of being human.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they'd frame it. This is what it truly means to be a human being, is to take your own life or do what your heart desires.
Or to simply take it back to Genesis, to be like God, to be the God of your own life. And I would suggest it's not just Hollywood, but societally.
Oh, come on, geez. Now you're
societally,
looking at me when you say
this is what's being taught.
Yeah. The old Adam teaches this. Yep. Hollywood enables it. That's why I brought all this up. You talked about
it. And the devil is right there to deceive you all along the way.
Oh, and this is this then as the pastors. Pastors then who have been consecrated, that is to be set apart. Part of being set apart as a pastor is to pray for your people in this way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
See, part of the pastoral ministry is praying for the people in your congregation that they will live in their baptism, in and from their baptism, which means that the Holy Spirit will do battle against their sinful desires and sinful flesh.
That's how our Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, thy will be done.
Yeah.
To break and hinder every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh.
And I think it could be argued that every petition in the Lord's Prayer is prayed against the sinful flesh.
Sure, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's why we teach our kids in Sunday school to teach to pray the Lord's Prayer.
Yep.
Well, this again, the symbol then
One of the first things we're taught, isn't that? Because this is necessary weaponry, if you will.
It is. So I guess to recap and summarize, Paul here when he says the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. Namely, the Holy Spirit goes after you, your sinful nature, so that you don't do what you want. Because if you do, like I said earlier, you'll destroy yourself and others. Thanks be to God. And now let me say another thing about this. This is why the Holy Spirit brings about guilt in us. As Jesus says, that he will convict the world with regard to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks be to the Holy Spirit for producing guilt in us, because guilt teaches us something. It teaches us that there is something wrong with our relationship to God, and that we need a Savior.
And you preachers who make us feel guilty are despised. Back to what you were saying at the beginning, that the sinful man, the old Adam, doesn't like God's gift of preachers. And so what do? We run away from it. We close our ears in order that we might do what our flesh really desires to do. Time for a break, folks. Back after a moment.